Welcome back to this week's Off The Record DJ podcast, and in today's episode, I'm just going to have a catch up with the boys because I've not seen them. 7 DJ rules to live by, and what to do when a club owes you money. Let's get stuck into this week's Off The Record podcast.
Oh yeah, it's my turn to press this button.
Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is off the record. Off the record. Off the record.
Most professional of starts.
Keeping it real.
I know. Sorry about that, guys. I had one thing to do, press the button. Yeah.
I've been away all week, and I've been in for one day trying to do a week's work, so everything's just all over the place at the minute.
I got a quick workout in at lunch just before this, and I'm like shaking a little bit still, so I think I'm just like on edge.
I tapped the double cup on the coffee machine about an hour ago. It's hitting me now.
Right.
Yeah.
Danny, could be a fun episode, eh? You know?
Danny's always off his nuts, so someone, this should be fun.
Someone said, this says it all. Someone's just said, hello from Disney World.
From Disney World?
You know? Jesus.
I feel like we're in for a good episode.
Imagine,
you know,
listening to this podcast from Disney World.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Disney World? That's
what land?
Is he on like, it's a small world or something? What That'd land be great.
Are you in? I'm guessing the chilling, you know, like when the kids are just absolutely battered and you have to go back to the hotel for like 3 hours in the afternoon just to let them chill out. I think you just sat there in quiet. In a room, like, I just need this space now. Let's just listen to the boys talk about DJ things.
Yes. Yep. Lads, I've not been here. It's been my birthday.
Yeah.
I had a little, thanks for everyone that wished me happy birthday, by the way. I got loads of messages
21st
on.
21st birthday.
I woke up after a heavy night, and I think you put a post up wishing me happy birthday, and I woke up, I had 100 notifications. I'm like, what have I posted last night? delete. But yeah, thanks for that. I had a little couple of days away. It was a nice chill. Any chaos in the office while I've been gone?
No,
XDJ, XZ2.
No. You're really holding on to that, aren't you? You keep bringing it up like it's gotta be soon.
No CDJ 4000s.
No. I'm hoping it's kind of like plain sailing, end of the year.
Yeah.
There's not anything drastic being announced.
Yeah.
I think.
Record box stem still shit.
Yeah.
Cool. Not changing.
I've had no word on what's going to happen with that and if it's going to get updated.
Well, yeah, we're looking forward to a quiet end of the year.
Don't say that.
Summer's over, isn't it? Do we declare summer's over?
It started getting cold already.
Yeah.
It has.
It's as we're recording this, it's the last day of August, which kind of, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. I cycled to work this morning and it was the first time I felt my hands feeling like brittle and cold on the handlebars.
We had a good run.
I say it's getting cold. We're here in jumpers and Jamie's in shorts and t-shirts. So.
Yeah, still cooling down
for some.
Speaking of DJ season, end of season, like it's part, like Ibiza closing parties will be a what, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's usually end of September.
Is it end? Mid to end. So we've got a little bit of time left, but it depends where you are in the world, obviously. Yeah. In the UK, you start to think about student season. You've had summer season where a lot of DJs over here go abroad, do a few gigs abroad, which means there's like a few gigs to grab over here through the summer. Yeah. And then the phone starts blowing up usually around now for working DJs. Because student season is kind of the end of September. It gets later and later every year.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the end of September where, there's loads of new nights, loads of new venues up and all that kind of thing.
It's an exciting time of year as DJ, isn't it, really?
It is. Yeah, yeah. However, I've just left my favourite gig.
What? Which was your favourite?
At Warehouse, which is, if you've ever watched one of my live sets on Crossfader, it's usually been at the Warehouse. But yeah, to walk away, It's just the right time, guys.
Have you done it? You've done it for quite a few years now.
Four or five years now, but it's basically the best club in Leeds. It's best club for miles. I think someone told me it's the oldest club in the country.
It's probably up there because
it was open as like an old rave venue.
Yeah.
A music venue. Yeah. And it shut down for 2 decades maybe or something. Yeah. And it was just like derelict. And then someone revived it and now it's again, you know, reclaimed its name and it's doing pretty well, isn't
yeah,
it?
But yeah.
A fun club to play, good sound system.
It's just an unreal club. I'm still doing bits over there with weekends and things like that. But too busy here, guys. Too much to do here.
and isn't it a Wednesday night that
it's
you play?
It's a Wednesday night,
see,
guys.
Is it right in the middle of the week?
It's just too much. I'm 36.
Like, we let him come in a bit later on a Thursday. That means he's going to be in earlier on a Thursday now, doesn't it?
I'm going to be in early. This podcast is going to start at 9 a.m. So loads to get through, guys, this week. If you are watching live, we love to hear your questions. So any questions you've got, guys, if anything has happened through the week that you need us to chat about, if you want to talk about any rumours or you've got any issues with your controller or anything like that, let us know. Give us a shout out where you're watching this live podcast from as well. Speaking of live, we have an in-person live event coming up in London for anyone in the UK. I mean, you can fly over if you want to do that.
Really want to.
It is in London on the 10th of September.
Next Sunday.
And it is in partnership with Beat Source, Beatport, DJ City, and it is a link up. DJ City are renowned for doing these link ups and Beat Source sort of regularly. We have been kindly invited to do a panel there. So we're going to be doing a bit of a talk for an hour about various things. So it will be great to see faces of you guys there. So you can just check our socials or just go to search for Beatport link up or Beat Source link up. And just get all the event details there. Tickets are free and you can just sign up and get some tickets.
I'd say go look now because they are talking about taking the tickets down soon because the free tickets and it's gone wild. And there's only a certain capacity. So they're actually on about opening an hour earlier just so that people can kind of get in and get networking.
Amazing.
Nice. So look out for updates on that and obviously like go and they might be taking the tickets down in the next few days. So yeah.
Get on it. It's a box park in Wembley. So easy to get to. So yeah, looking forward to seeing everyone there. Big shout out to people who have purchased the recent Music Management for DJs course. We've had such a great response from it. And also, obviously, our Complete Package customers all already have this because if you are a member of the Complete Package, you get all courses bundled in there when they come out. So we've had a lot of great responses and I think everyone's loving it. I think that we spoke about it at length last week's podcast. So if you want to know more about music management, go and listen to last week's podcast. But it is out now for you to buy and download and get your music management library in order. And just to reiterate, there is a code up until the 5th of September for podcast listeners, which is manage35. And that ends on the 5th of September. So you can go and purchase the Music Management for DJs course. Right, guys, this week, speaking about going back to gigs and all this kind of thing, I was thinking about, I had an issue basically where a club wasn't paying me, right?
Which we've all been there.
We've all been there. And we'll get to that. We'll get to the story. So I was thinking, but it was actually my own fault. So I have a rule where if I haven't worked for you before, then you pay me up front. Right. Yeah. And this is a rule that's adapted. When I started DJing when I was 20, you don't have that rule.
You can't have that rule.
These are rules that I've adapted over time. I thought about, I have a few sort of inbuilt sort of DJ rules that I sort of live by and have evolved with me. But these seven rules have kind of stuck with me. And I think that you guys can relate and you probably have your own rules as I sort of talk about these. But we go through these sort of one by one. And then what I want you guys to do listening is kind of like build out your own rules to stick by. So we'll go through the list now and see if any resonate with you and see if any pop into your mind that you can rubber stamp and stick by. So these, and by the way, these are my personal DJ rules. So these can apply to you if they resonate with you, but yeah, build your own. First one is, like I said, if I have never worked for the promoter before, then I get payment up front. Now this is just from, experience of, just chasing money. It's just an effort.
Yeah,
chasing promoters over and over again. And again, this depends on the stage of DJing you're at, right? If you just started and you got your first few gigs, then you're not going to be able to do this. But if you're an experienced DJ, then this might be something you want to sort of nail down because just chasing money from promoters and or anyone basically is just... It's just long.
What if it's a new residency? So it's a gig that you're going to be doing every single week.
Yeah.
Do you still get that first gig up front or every gig up front?
Yeah, I think it can be a judgment call, I think. Yeah. And again, it's about doing a sort of temperature check and seeing if you know any DJs that have worked for this guy before or not.
Yeah.
And get a bit of a vibe for it. And is this a new promoter to the area? Mm. Have they got other nights and things like that? And try and get a bit of a check before you take the gig, I think is always good. And if there are any red flags, then in my experience, I would just park it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Again, just going back to this time of year where the gigs start coming in, you start getting all sorts of promoters like, oh, I've been passed your number on from so-and-so, so-and-so. And when you get to that point where people start passing your number around, and then there's random promoters that'll get in touch with you, and they're like, I've got this new club opening, I've got this new night that's starting, and it's brand new, it's someone you've never worked with, and it's a new night, you don't even know if it's going to be successful or not. And if it's not successful, they're like, well, I don't have any money to pay you, and you're like, I need paying. It's not about whether you have any money. Like, I've agreed to do this. So that's definitely one of the things to look out for. It's like, is this a brand new night with someone I've never worked with before?
Sure.
Are they just going to disappear when it doesn't work after 1 week? And now I'm like out of pocket and 100%. I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. So while we talk about it, I'll tell the story. So I've been speaking to this promoter now for a few months. So I kind of knew who he was, but he never really presented an offer. He was talking about various gigs. So then he presented an offer to me. I was like, go on then, it sounds good. The wage sounded right. It was a new club. And then on the lineup, for future events with some like big DJs on. So I thought this looks legit. Reached out to a few other DJs on the lineup. They said, this guy, I've worked with him before. Seems pretty legit. Mm-hmm. Then I asked for the fee up front. I said, I've never worked for you before. You know, I take the fee up front. He goes, the policy, what we're doing at the minute is you get paid like the week after, which is pretty standard. So I said, again, I pushed it a little bit more. I was like, look, ideally I'd like this up front. Is there any way we can do this? He said, look, again, you have my word, the week after. So doing the temperature checks, I was kind of like, people are backing him. It's credible. Yeah. It's a new club as well. It's just had a massive refit of about $100,000 or something. I was like, okay, fine, I'll take it. Yeah, lo and behold,
he didn't pay you.
2.5 months of later chasing it. And there was just one point where I was like, I actually don't care about this money anymore.
You're separated from it.
It was just taking up too much mental capacity, just chasing this guy. I was like, oh my God. So after a couple
sometimes you've got to leave it to karma, haven't you? You go, you know what? Like, it's going to come and bite him somehow. Exactly. Like, and I might not know about that, but I've just got to leave it to that. You know?
There were times where like younger me would have like blasted these people out on socials. Do you know what I mean? Or like done something where like, you know, message the upcoming DJs and just be like, whoa, you might want to sack this off. But obviously like, at this stage of my career, I don't need to be doing that. I'm not interested in that kind of beef. But yeah, I was just like sending messages every week, and it got today, and I was like, you know what? And I just basically sent them a final like letter notice thing, and then lo and behold, the response was that evening, and they paid me, to be fair. So it did get sorted out in the end. But again, broke my own rule. I blame myself. Next rule is never take a gig over a family event. Now this is one I've had to build in later in life, but I just think it's quite an important thing to get your head around. A hard one, because
it is a hard one, because weekends there's so many times, obviously, especially if we're looking for residencies.
Yes.
This is a big thing, you know. A residency is a reliable gig every single week, usually, at probably the same club. So you play the same club every Saturday night, and you know you're kind of guaranteeing that wage. And as a DJ, that's important, because you've got to build in to your, you know, working week, like some of these residencies, that it's like guaranteed income, especially when you're starting out. So this is a really hard one, because I've missed so many family events. So I had to leave halfway through and be like, right, I've got to shoot to my gig now. See ya.
Everyone's getting drunk. You're like,
sometimes it's great. You're like, I'm out of this situation. I don't want to be here.
Yeah, it depends what family it is.
But no, that is a tricky one. Yeah. And I think, like you say, that's a hard thing to set from the start.
Big time.
As a rule.
You're going to have to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
Early I think on. When family comes along, that's when it changes.
It's hard. Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah.
And especially like the way the sort of clubbing scene, especially in the UK, has gone. It's a lot more sort of daytime partying now, which is even harder, because obviously if they're doing something, you know, when all the brunches and stuff that you're on that you're getting booked at, it just becomes harder. But I think just over time, you sort of weigh up what's important, the more experience you get, really. And then hopefully you can have sort of gigs like midweek that you can fall back on and rely on, and then you can take a weekend off or a Saturday off or something like that. But again, a rule to think about as you sort of get more experienced, for sure. My next DJ rule is always make time for other DJs. Again, something I've learned along the years, it started out, and a lot of beginner DJs will see DJing as a sort of a competition.
Yeah, for sure.
And I understand that in certain areas, there's limited time and all this kind of thing. There's limited gigs, and I totally get that. But if you sort of make connections and speak to other DJs on a regular basis, guarantee that only good comes of that.
Yeah.
I think that yeah, having sort of like beefs or just having that poor connections with other DJs and promoters and people in your area,
yeah,
just makes no sense from early on.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It's a tricky one. Have you ever had beef?
Not beef, but you have competitive nature.
Yeah,
because you need that to be a better DJ and up your level. So you go in a club, you've got a sick DJ on, you're like, right, I'm gonna go and learn and practice and become better than this DJ, which is good. But then if you sort of be like, if you then don't like that DJ just because they're a good DJ, it don't make any sense.
Yeah.
I've been on the receiving end of the beef.
Oh, hello.
So it's interesting though, because this is, again, it's like, you're going to come across this. You might not, you know, you might be the nicest person in the world, be friendly with everyone. Suddenly someone gets the back up about you and you're a target of it.
You get wind of it, don't you? You get rumors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a word flying around.
So when I first started Crossfader, before anyone else started, it was just me.
Yes.
Just making videos, putting them online, and then I was teaching one-to-one in person. That was before we didn't have any online courses or anything. And just as I started doing online courses, obviously I started doing a lot of content and putting it out online. Yep. And I started this series called Sunday DJ Skills, which was just every single Sunday I'd upload a mix. I was trying to be as creative as possible.
Legendary.
On like a controller or a new piece of equipment or whatever I had available to me. I'd just see if I could push the limits of what I could do with it. And it was a challenge for me, and it was good to like build, you know, the brand of Crossfader. Mm-hmm. And someone in like the sort of local area was looking at these mixes and being like, who do you think you are trying to sell education off the back of these mixes? This is shit, this is that. And like being like absolute keyboard warrior about it. And just like, that whole thing of like, who are you to teach other people? Yeah, like, you're just like a local DJ. Who are you to, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, because obviously that imposter syndrome's big at the start of doing anything.
Oh my God.
You know?
I mean, it happens now.
It happens now. Yeah, yeah.
It still happens now.
Now I'm not bothered about all the comments. Yeah. But back then you're like, my God. And it was someone that was local, it's someone you bump into and things. You're like, oh, this person's like proper, like trying to troll me online now and like use his clout to make people think another way of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So me just enjoying creativity, I just did my next Sunday skills and I just put in there, scratching like, fuck you. And I was like, I like using that. The DJ to respond to it. I didn't respond to it. I didn't try and say this or that or like,
but loads of people, backed you though as well, didn't they?
Loads of people backed you and stuff. You know, we always appreciate the people that go against the keyboard warriors. We're only ever trying
spread
to help
the love, guys.
But I think it goes to that thing of it's been like almost like an ongoing joke now, and you know, if I bumped into this person or whatever, it'd be fine. It doesn't matter. But it's almost this like ongoing joke, you know, and it's something that I still think about to this day. How can that affect, you know, your trajectory and your response to things?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to like notice that everyone knows each other in some way. Mm. So like I'd always hear stories about like one DJ might have done something that I don't even know, but you'd hear about it in some way because everyone knows everyone in a way. So
it's a tiny circle. You know, I was out in Ibiza and everyone knows everyone without even me. I met like five DJs for the first time and I know everything about them. They know everything about me.
Yeah.
It's like you're like instant friends. It's crazy.
Yeah. Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
100%. It is a great community. And that's the thing, do right in the community and it will come back to you.
My next one is never negotiate a DJ fee. Now this is something that has actually stuck with me for years and it's a tough one early on. And again, First couple of years of DJing, this does not apply to you. But I didn't actually plan on it, but it just set a precedent for like the course of my DJ career. Like promoters know that my fee is what I say my fee is. And the only reason I set the fee is so we don't have to haggle or hassle. And if you don't want to book me, that's fine.
Yeah.
And if you do, that's the fee. And they all know that. So there's never any talk. If they just ring me for a booking, I go, yeah, booking. And then the ones that I work with regularly don't even need to ask what it is.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, I didn't mean for it to be like a precedent starter, but it actually, in the long run, has helped so much. And it also gives you a bit of a credibility as well. Because as soon as you start, as soon as you lower your fee once, that kind of becomes the benchmark.
Mm.
Then it's hard to raise that back up because what, you know, what, how could he raise it up if you got more followers, if you got more status? How are you bringing people? Like, you know, you got to answer them questions. Yeah.
I've fallen into this trap. So yeah. Again, going back to getting residencies, there's times where you will work with the same promoter on multiple nights.
Yep.
So there's times where I've been like, oh yeah, I'll do this gig for you for like, you know, I'll do it a bit cheaper, it's favor this or the other. And then suddenly it's like, oh yeah, well, we want you to come on every week now. And it's like, yep. Oh, well, okay, right. Well, I'm going to have to make my wage this. And then you're negotiating back and forth yeah. And you're like, and then you might settle a wage on one night that, let's say, for example, it's £120 or something.
Yeah.
And then they launch another night.
Yep.
It might be in a venue twice the size. It might be, you know, on a more premium date, like a Friday or a Saturday. And they're like, all right, yeah, cool. We want you to DJ £120. And you're but
wait,
how
minute.
Do I like,
yeah.
I need to charge more because of X, Y, and Z. And you say these things, but then it's this awkward situation you end up in. Like,
yeah.
So I tried to always get to a point of like midweek gigs. This is my bench. This is my wage. Yeah. And weekend gigs. This is my wage. Mm-hmm. And obviously this, you can kind of vibe off, okay, this is a venue that holds 2,000, 3,000 people. They can probably afford to pay me a bit more. I'll go in a bit higher to start with.
Yeah.
If it's like a little club and I know they're not taking a lot of money, like it's more for the, you know, credibility, the vibe and the music, then I'm like, I know I can't charge ridiculous amounts here. Like, and you kind of play it off that, but I've fallen trapped to that. Definitely.
I had a bit of a tricky situation years ago where I was doing like, 4 or 5 nights, but I had 4 nights paying me one wage that was the same and then one night paying me less. But I was doing the same hours for the one I was getting paid less. And I'm like, well, should I approach that promoter to try and match the wages of the others? Because like, why do more work for this money, but the same work for less money? So it was a bit tricky. And it was like, it was also a bigger venue and they were getting more people in.
Yeah.
So it is a tricky situation, but I think you just got to play it the right way.
I think when I was fully working 6 nights a week, I think I probably had 6 different every night was a slightly different wage because I could get a bit more out of this person and I couldn't push it any further with this person, but I looked at it as a whole week at that point, you know, that's when it was a full-time you know, job for me.
Yep.
I was out there 6 nights a week and I'm looking at the whole week's wage, not like this gig, you know. It's like, if I take this extra night, what will it bump me up to? What will that spread out across the year? And you kind of look at the whole picture.
Yeah, next one is super quick one. It's just only work with people that I vibe with and that I like being around and like working for.
Yeah.
And this goes from, again, working with some shitty promoters over the years and just being like, it's more hassle than it's worth. Mm. Like, you know, working with unprofessional people who like, call them like wide boys here, don't we? Who will pay you random cash and coins and stuff out of their pocket, and then like they'll turn up like for like an hour like every night and stuff, and it's just like nah. Just want to work with like credible people who it's very easy to get on with, but again, the more experience you get, the more that rule can apply to you. The next one is one that I've applied recently. I'd say the most recent one would be only. It's like 2-for-1. So never play the same set twice and play at least one track every set. And that goes back to when you were saying, Jamie, about playing 6 nights a week, where you can just, you don't really have time to stop and think. And sometimes you just turn up to the next gig, going on histories and just be like,
it's a robot. Yeah, you become a robot.
But bash it because you know the set works. You know it's going to go off. It's a different club. But like, it just sucks the fun out of you.
This is a really good point. I think we need to just hang here for a second. Because there is a point in your career where you will become successful as a DJ. You know, that success might be that you're headlining festivals or something.
Yep.
But a lot of the time,
whatever it is to you,
but that first real success, like, this is my full-time thing now.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's like a big moment, is to go, okay, I'm going to like quit my day job and just do this full-time. And when that happens, you do find yourself working 5 or 6 nights a week to make it work, you know, or even if it's 4 nights a week, but you work in multiple nights a week and you do fall into this trap of becoming a slave to the work and a robot to it.
Yeah.
And you think, well, it's not that I'm not doing a good job because I've got this set nailed down. You know, they vary, don't they? I'm not saying you've got an exact A to Z set list that you play every single night.
No.
But you play a similar kind of style.
You can just go through the motions.
Similar mashups and routines and things.
Yeah.
And they're all good.
Yeah.
But then after like a few months,
after a while,
you're like, oh, I need to vary this up. Even I'm getting bored, and I probably tell the crowd are kind of like expecting what's going to happen next.
And then what happens is one day you wake up, you're like, man, that set was so good last night. I don't know what it was, but it's so good. And then a few weeks later, you're like, oh, that set last night was so good. And you realize it's because you've changed it up completely, or you spent like, you know, 2 hours getting new tracks, or you know, you practice for a little bit, so you were doing different transitions. You're like, it's because you want that like excitement of is this gonna flop? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You get that adrenaline, like, if I play this now, is the dance floor gonna empty on this song? Like, and that's what you want, though. You want to like live on the edge of it, and like, just, you know, every few tracks is like, is this gonna work or not? And that literally will sort of.
Got to take the risk,
focus,
you?
Do you know what I used to do sometimes? Because I used to use Serato regularly out as a working DJ.
Yeah.
And Serato highlights tracks blue, which is your history. You know, it shows you what you've played, and it's a similar thing in all DJ softwares. And I'd leave it there. So in Serato, you can say to not reset it when you close the software and reopen it. So when you reopen the software, you've still got all the blue tracks. And that basically said to me, these are my, like, this is my library that I play. These are my popular tracks. And then if I ever got stuck, I'd be like, oh, right, I need to force myself to not play any blue tracks for a while. Or, you know, I need to play 10 blue tracks, 10 white tracks this set, non-blue ones. And it's forcing me to play tracks that I haven't played for, you know, since I last reset my history. And that was quite a good technique to use.
Yeah.
I felt like that helped.
Yeah.
Class, my last rule is get a hotel if the gig is more than 3 hours from home. And that just goes from like the long traveling. It's just like, one, it's kind of sometimes dangerous because you're just like falling asleep. It's like 6 a.m. You've been driving hours and hours. But I just think that some working DJs will get this, where, especially with freshers coming up in the UK, you'll be traveling to different cities, playing different clubs. If you can get a hotel, get one, because it just makes more sense. Or if you can get public transport, like the last train home or something like that, first train home sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just one of my rules that I've sort of stuck with. And don't be doing long drives at all, guys.
No.
If you've got any questions, guys, we're going to get to some questions at the end of this podcast. So if you've got any rules, if you've just been listening to this and you're making your own rules, put your rules in the chat right now and we're going to read some out at the end. That would be amazing. But shall we get into, what should we do? Reddit or game?
Missed Reddit last week.
Should we go into Reddit?
Let's do Reddit.
Reddit drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Reddit drama. Reddit drama.
Thanks to our good friend Snoop Dogg once again.
For those that are watching it, Danny, you need to make a cool animation.
Skit to go
in the video for the live viewers.
AI, that can be done.
AI will make an animation. Guys, you're going to love this. Get your booze ready. Are you ready?
This is a
text message from someone trying to book a DJ. So it's a screenshot from somebody trying to book a DJ, right?
Yeah.
So mainly, I would set up some playlists and I wouldn't need you to be mixing all the time. Actually, I would just like you to let the playlist play on Spotify. I just want to have the DJ there because last time I did this party, every guest was switching up the music all the time and it got messy.
I love this. It's like playlist bouncer.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I would just like you to have control of it, but not really mix it. I don't know if you get what I mean, but that's why the price is way too much for me, since I won't be requiring the ability of an actual DJ.
Oh my God.
You could just watch the equipment and just let the playlist play. Let me know if you can lower your price on this, on your price point.
That is amazing.
I wish we had a boo function.
I'm so glad that made it to the internet as well.
That's so funny.
That is just...
So you want...
Why reach out to a DJ? Just anyone? Oh,
yeah.
Just call a favour from a friend to stand there. Like.
One of the staff of the wherever it is, a restaurant or a bar.
Security guard for your phone, that's it. It's...
Yeah, security guard.
That's
it. Two for one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just let him stand there, watch the party.
Yeah.
Stand
or
there.
Or just, why are people going up and like touching the phone? Why can't you just like not make that a thing?
Really want to know what the price was.
Yeah.
Remember what I said about not negotiating a fee? I'll stand there for £300 and not do it. Oh my God.
I mean, it's funny.
Are we getting to this though? Someone did say, let me find the comment to put it up. Someone said, please share your opinion on AI in the music industry. Ooh. What feature would you like the AI to work on as a DJ helper tool? There's two questions there. So first of all, it's interesting, like, this whole Spotify thing. I'm like, can you just stand there and play a playlist? Yeah. Honestly, Spotify is great at mixing as well. You know, there's a amount of times I've been listening to playlists on there and they just seamlessly blend tracks together.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
At the gym, the DJ guy on Spotify, I think he's sick. I think he's great. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. But are we at risk of that?
I don't, I don't know.
I'd like to see something like a song suggestion tool within
There's nothing within stuff, but there is online, isn't there? There's some good stuff. But again, well, it just takes joy out of actually DJing. But there'll always be little bits that come and help your life a little bit easier, I reckon.
Yep.
Sorting out playlists and stuff like that. The sort of little boring things you might want to do that might be introduced or something like that. But
I mean, as it stands, AI can't look at the crowd and read a crowd.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have like a microphone that detects the cheers and tags that as a good track and then finds other tracks and suggests other tracks. I like that idea though, Danny, of music curation. Discovery.
Curation.
The discovery of music is a big thing now.
Yeah.
Now we have access to all the music. Mm. How do we find the music we want and the relevant music? And I think that's the thing that the streaming softwares are all kind of battling for at the moment. Like, how can we make the best discovery solution out there for DJs? And I think that the tricky thing at the moment is you've got Rekordbox or Serato, both separate softwares, separate, you know, software engineers and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got streaming platforms like your Tidal, BeatSource, BeatPaw, and they're separate companies as well. Yeah. And then they've got to work together to integrate. And then any new features that one brings out, it's got to then like be integrated into the software. Yeah,
they've got to speak to the licenses of the record labels to say where they can go and where they can't go.
I think there's going to be a big headache. But there's a lot of opportunity for it. For sure. We've seen how much AI has come from a writing perspective. There's a million writing tools out there now, all off the back of ChatGPT. There's a lot of design tools now. You know, you can just put a prompt in, like, you know, make this flyer for me or website for me. Even now, it's only a matter of time before we've already seen. I don't know if you've heard of this, but Meta, who own Facebook, basically developed a generative audio tool, and that's rolling out soon. So you type in, like, make a drum and bass beat that is aggressive so and does this, and you describe the kind of beat you want, and you can make samples, loops, or even full songs. And the examples that they've got on their website are pretty incredible, to be honest.
Yeah.
So there is going to be some interesting stuff there. For me, I'm like, I want to explore all this. I'm never one to push back and be like, this is wrong. But there's definitely going to be a lot going on in the music industry. And I think STEMS was like just a tip of the iceberg. It's like,
100%.
STEMS, we can now separate stuff. But that was like, I think it's going to explode. Yeah,
for sure.
Mark Zuckerberg is coming for your job. It's time for the game with no name.
No.
We've had some suggestions.
What was it? What was the suggestion? Seven to Heaven.
Seven to Heaven.
If you like it...
Seven.
Let us know.
Seven to Heaven sounds a bit like a strip club.
It does. But this is what, you know.
The game with.
If you've got a better name, at the moment we don't have another name.
The game with no name still stands. So it's a game with no name. So Jimmy and Danny are going to work together. We have seven tracks, and they have a chart. It's a chart position. I'm going to play seven tracks in random orders, and once they enter the chart, they cannot be moved. Okay. So. This week's theme, what themes have we done? We've done hip-hop party anthems. We've done
Disclosure.
Do you know what? Disclosure.
What is so weird, right? Oh. You played Disclosure, all those old tracks last week from Disclosure. That evening, all I heard on the radio, then I went climbing, and everywhere I was, it was there just Disclosure. I was like, what have you done? Yes. And ever since then, like at my class today, when I was doing spin, there was Disclosure when a fire starts to burn on, and I just can't stop hearing it everywhere. I'm like, have you started Symphony? Have they just like had a resurgence of all their old stuff?
We did Disclosure, we did
Ibiza anthems
or something.
That was good.
Well, it's been a huge sort of campaign. It's been 50 years of hip hop, hasn't it? And that came up on my theme. I thought, let's do some like classic hip hops.
Let's do it.
50 years of hip hop. So we've got a top seven chart. So yeah, once I'll play the song. Once it's had its position, it can't move. I'm just going to test.
So 50 years of hip hop is basically, it can be any hip hop, I suppose, can't it?
Can we hear that?
We're not like,
this isn't it. I'm just making the chorus sound.
Okay.
Listen. I'm picking seven songs from 50 years of hip hop. So don't be in the chat being, where's Biggie? Like, there's a lot of tracks, right? But we're going to go like classic.
Okay.
So let's go with the first one. Let's go, let's go with the first one, which is.
What do you reckon, Danny? Is it big?
Relax, it's a big start.
I feel like that
it's a big start.
Up there, like.
Nothing but a G thing, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
I feel like that's if we're talking about 50 years of hip hop and what's made an impact on like hip hop and culture,
that's up there.
It's up there because it's.
I feel like you two always start really safe.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking like two.
Oh, you're going in.
Two or three.
Two or three.
Yeah. Shall we go three?
Yeah, let's do three. Play it safe.
Because, Right, so.
Nothing but a G thing.
Nothing but a G thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Strong.
Play along in the chat, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
I put Snop and Dre. Let's put Snoop. Snop Dog.
Right, next one.
Oh, wow. See, this is one of my favorite hip-hop
things. Is it?
Yeah, Simon Says.
Yeah, I'm going to number intro, two.
Wait for this beat. That is disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to love playing this.
I used to love playing this song. You want to be...
This is our personal. This is, there's no right or wrong here, I don't think.
Nah, there isn't. No.
For us, we both love that track, right? Yeah. Are we going to go number two with it?
Oh, my God.
I don't...
No. Four.
I mean, like, personally, that is really up there for me because it's such a sick tune, but...
there's so much good hip-hop.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I could pick any of these.
Yeah. This is the hard thing. He's picking them after the fact.
Yeah. Well,
he needs to pick seven, and that's
then we
it.
Do the game.
And then we do the game. He's like, oh,
to be fair, I have picked the seven, but I'm just scrolling this list, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's so many.
There is. Right. Come on, man.
LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out.
This is sick as well.
Such a banger.
I don't feel like it's had like a big impact, as big an impact as those tracks on hip hop though. Okay. Like if we're talking about 50 years of hip hop,
yeah,
I would put it number six or seven.
That's fair, six, yeah.
Six, okay. Yeah. Mama Said Knock.
LL Cool J.
That's going in at seven or six.
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 Going in at six. Next one.
This is a DJ's favorite song to play in a club. Yeah. Like,
I would like to put this at two.
Yeah, I'll give it
Do you know why? Because I think it was probably one of the first like real hip hop songs I got introduced to by my dad. And when I heard it, it's like made a lasting memory because that beat.
It's still not really a beat like
it. And you're just like, what is happening?
It? You know from one bar, one beat, you know what? You're like,
I'll give that two, Dead Prez.
Hip hop. Dean, what is going on with my spelling? Dead Prez.
Dead Prez, that is, by the way, if you don't know, that is Dead Prez hip hop. That is going in at number two, next one. Now what you hear
is not a test. I'm rapping. See, this is probably.
This is the first hip hop song, right?
Yeah. Are gonna try to move your feet.
I had to put it in there because it's kind of claimed as the first hip hop.
It is
song.
Like hip hop in it.
Again, that's had another. That was another of the first ones that was introduced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, but I don't know if it's number one. Does it? If we're talking strictly 50 years of hip hop, is it going to go at number one? Because we've only got 1, 5, or 7 left.
Holy moly!
Feel like one or five.
I think
is
for like history
apart.
Of hip hop, it's got to be up there.
For rappers,
but like,
is it number one?
I'm going at five because Simon's. I prefer Simon Says.
If we're going what we prefer
Dead Prez hip hop.
I do.
I think.
Yeah, this is personal. Let's put it down there.
Yo, let's go.
Let's not beat ourselves up.
Yeah.
Right, two more. Wait, is it 1 and 7? Oh my God.
I feel like we do this every week.
We do.
We kind of fill up from the middle.
This could be really hard.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've got a bit of panning going on there.
Yeah, that was it.
Ready or not. Yeah, see,
again, banger.
It is, but...
Who doesn't know that song?
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And the DJ Zinc remix just hits.
I just want to know what the next song is.
This is so hard.
It's definitely higher than Mama Said Knock You Out, which is a shame, but are we going to just leave the number one spot?
Yeah, it's not above the rest, though.
Okay, Fuji, sorry. Ready or not.
Ready or not, number 6.
I know.
That is actually disgusting behavior.
That is wrong.
I do feel wrong.
Wrong.
Okay.
All right, last one. Man. Is this worthy of number one? Nigga one, guy.
Word up. Look out for the cops, though. Cash food. Everything around me.
Yep. Like. Yeah. This is
it's not
one.
A bad shout, that.
I'm fine with this. Like this, son.
With this one and
that one.
Right.
It's Cream Wu-Tang.
What's your list then? That was Cream Wu-Tang, by the way. That's going in at number one.
I'm happy with that.
Read your list from seven.
Seven. Fuji's ready or not.
not happy about that.
That is actually
that needs to go two or three places.
It's actually disrespectful to Lauryn Hill.
I'm sorry.
Number six, Mama said knock you out, LL Cool J.
Yeah.
That should have been below Ready or Not you for think? Sure. Yep. Rapper's Delight, 5, Sugar Hill Gang. Number 4, Simon Says.
Yeah.
Number 3, Nothing But a G Thing.
Yeah.
Number 2, Dead Prez Hip Hop. Number 1, Cream Wu Tang.
I mean, it's a strong list, isn't it?
It is very strong.
It's a strong list.
Very strong. Yeah, it just reminded me, I nearly wrote Shook Ones.
I had that. I did have that. I think that's the best beat of all time.
It's unreal. It's Shook Ones beat. Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of being young teenager.
Yeah, that one and New York State of Mind for me. Instrumentals.
Yeah. If there's any hip-hop fans listening, I would urge you to go and watch 50 Years of Hip-Hop at Yankee Stadium on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally about...
Everyone that's still alive is there.
Everyone that's alive performed.
Yeah, it's great.
All I needed was a Tupac hologram and it'd be an unreal.
Do you know what's weird to think 50 years? Like, 50 years for a music genre, you know, and how much of an impact it's made. Yeah. And just how prominent it is just in the wider scope of music in general and culture and how much it influences so much in the world. Like, and that's all within 50 years. Like, that is a speck of time.
Nothing. Just
think, there could be a new genre that appears that we don't even know about yet.
No.
AI genres.
It's weird to think that, like, our parents are older than hip-hop.
The computers might just make music and we label it.
That's mad.
That is weird to think, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no hip hop.
We have family that is older than hip hop.
That's mad.
Yeah. Can you imagine a world without Wu Tang?
Well, bravo. Let's give a round of applause for 50 years of hip hop.
Applause. Round of applause. Any questions, Jamie?
Yeah, we've got a few actually.
Right.
A lot came in early on, so hopefully. Do you know what? I haven't looked through all of that while we're playing the game.
Before we get to the questions, mention every week on the podcast, we always like to give you guys some value back. So for legends of this podcast listening, you can use the code off the record to get 20% off any of our DJ courses. So any of our courses online at wearecrossfader.co.uk, anything Record Box, Serata, how to get gigs, CDJ Masterclass, techno, house mixing, hip-hop mixing.
Everything.
All of that stuff. If you use the code off the record, you get 20% off. But like I say, we did launch the music management course last week, and you can use code MANAGE35 until the 5th of September. If you're listening after the 5th of September, you can use that code off the record for 20%.
Right then. So
questions.
Will you guys talk about Traktor X1 Mark III today? We can talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Is this the new thing? I was away. Talk to me about it.
So we just saw it online.
Yeah.
We have no contact at Traktor anymore. Yeah. They did a little layoffs a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the contacts we had, we then don't have anymore. They haven't reached out about it, but if we get our hands on one, we'll definitely do, you know, review on it and things.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, from first glance, I'm like, it's interesting they brought out some hardware when there's still, I feel that the software has room for, you know, some updates. It's a great software, don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing it. It's a very, very good and robust software. And there is that thing of like, don't try and fix something that isn't broken.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I still think it's weird to bring out new hardware when they haven't made real software updates in such a long time. You know, there's not really real streaming in there, mm-hmm. you know, but maybe the Traktor DJs aren't interested in that.
No. Nope.
I don't know, you know, so that's, for me, it's just interesting that there's hardware. Does that mean there are going to be updates to the software? Possibly.
Hopefully.
It looks like a cool little unit.
Yeah.
I think it's a worthy, you know, iteration and upgrade of the X1, which is a great piece of kit in general.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's one of those things. It's a nice upgrade. It's a shame we don't have one in the studio yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. How do I know when I'm ready for playing in a club or a bar?
Good question.
Do you feel confident in your ability to mix a few songs together and have some fun?
Yeah.
And just, not overthink it.
Yeah.
You've got to make that first step.
Yeah, for sure.
If you feel, you know, if you feel nervous at mixing at home, you think, oh, that was a mistake. Oh, every mix, there's like, you feel like there's something wrong with it, then that'll probably be amplified, you know, in a live environment.
Yeah.
Just get comfortable doing the very basics, just basic mixing, nothing too fancy. Yeah. Knowing how to, like, you know, play a few different genres is always useful, even if you're just simply echoing out. Just being able to do that well is... just have that confidence and that ability, and then you're ready, and you'll keep learning in that environment, which is a really good thing. It's a really valuable thing.
Try put out some mixes on social media. So try and set up a YouTube channel, go live, just go set on Twitch, go live. It doesn't matter if there's one person watching you, at least it's
get some
you
feedback.
Still get a bit of feedback. Put some content together for your social media, see if people respond to it well or not, and just get out of that fear of being sort of judged, because the first 15 minutes of your live set is going to be panic. Yeah. And you can't get over that until you do it.
Yeah. Sam said, I currently DJ open format in a club every week, probably going to give it up soon. I want to DJ dance/house, but don't really know where to get gigs. I think a lot of people end up in this situation, where you're playing gigs that you don't necessarily want to be playing, but you've got the gigs and you're like, well, I have to stop DJing because I don't want to play this anymore. It's a fine line.
Yeah. I wouldn't stop the gigs.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd like slowly try and take on house stuff. And if you can build up in that area, then maybe follow that route a bit more. But I'd definitely keep your open format stuff and try. Like when we've all done nights, there's obviously more nights than we've enjoyed than others. So I think if you just do the nights that you don't enjoy as much, but then have the ones that are more like passion projects for yourself, I feel like that's a good way to balance it.
Yeah, I'd put all keep the open format gigs so you've got flexibility. In the daytime, to just focus on all your social media around what you actually like doing. So all your energy and your socials just goes towards, did he say house? Goes towards
like dance and house.
Dance and house. All your energy, all your content goes into doing that 100%.
Shout out DJ AD, loving the course so far. That was talking about the music management course. Great. Lots of useful information. Always good to hear. Someone said, now that Pioneer has bought Serato, does this mean there will be no new Serato-enabled controllers? Would love to see a new Roland mixer with stems and longer pitch controls along with drum machine. It hasn't gone through. There's been a lot of beef about it.
There's been a lot of beef.
just a bit.
They've still got the boxing match to happen yet between the two brands.
It's not a done deal yet, but if it does. We don't know. You know, we can't Nobody anticipate knows. That. But Serato have said, you know, we want to still retain a Serato, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to still operate in the same way and we're still going to, you know, have third-party controllers all, you know, featuring our software. But time will tell.
So just need everyone to get along.
I can't imagine Roland doing anything, though, because it's been so long since they basically did a few controllers and then that was it.
That was it.
Yeah. They didn't really, like, follow up and they're obviously just not focused on the DJ industry. They're focused on production, drum machines, hardware, and in the other side of the industry. So I can't imagine more DJ equipment. I feel like from a business standpoint, they're going, it didn't do that well for us. They're looking at the past and going, didn't do that well for us, but this market is doing really well for us, so we'll focus on this market. Guys,
cool.
Any tips for a 16-year-old DJ? I'm about to get a DDJ 1000. I'm looking to move on to more events. Any tips?
Awesome. Have fun. Don't put any pressure on it whatsoever.
Yep.
Have fun. Set up your TikTok. Just put out some content on your TikTok. Try and do some friends parties, little house parties.
Yep.
Don't know if you go to like college or whatever. Don't know where you are in the world, but just do any kind of live party you can get your hands around. Get your friends around to your bedroom sets. Just build a bit of experience that way. Don't put too much pressure on it. And just
have fun.
Keep it breezy.
Right, I've got three more that I want to read out.
Oh, that's cool.
It'll be quick though. AC1 Music said, how do you make time for DJ content while having a day job and DJ gigs on a weekend? I got up at 5:30 this morning.
Yeah,
and I was blasting out some drum and bass.
Boom!
At home, in my little garden room. Like, yeah.
Just got to manage your time, I guess, yeah.
It's all about being clever with your time. You know, we've said this on many podcasts before, but just quickly reiterate, if you film an hour DJ set in your bedroom, you've got a month's worth of content there.
Yep.
So there's no excuses for not filming DJ content at all. Have a look at our How to Get Gigs course. It breaks it down how to do that. And we've on this podcast as well, if you just search back a few weeks on how to be a better DJ or something like that, there's a whole action plan.
Yep.
Shout out to Pontoni, who said we sent him a survey email to express what he thought about everything in Crossfader. You guys are great, loving your email stories, nice. And looking forward to having DJ Flex 10 content available on the platform. There is some in the Rekordbox Intermediate course already. On the
a lot of Flex 10s knocking about now.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
There is.
Love that.
It's great controller, though. Great controller, and thanks a lot for the kind words. Thanks. And then this is a nice one to finish on. Nick Kinetic Entertainment said, as one of the only DJs in my area, this is truly giving me life.
Big up.
So shout out, you know, it's great that to know that we can reach all corners of the globe. There's small towns all around the world. And this is why we do it, you know. So thanks for saying, you know, the kind words that you do in the comments.
Yep.
And we appreciate it.
On that note, we'll see you next week.